Hi, everyone. Welcome to Appliance Advisors by Yale Appliance. My name is Francesco, joined as always by Dennis McDonald. How are you doing this week, Dennis?
Great, Fran. How are you?
Very good, very good. It's been a couple weeks since we've had our last show, so I think we're both raring and ready to go, and hopefully can impart a lot of knowledge here about this week we're going to focus on dishwashers. So, you know, we've kind of taken a few categories here over the last few weeks, and this week, you know, dishwashers is definitely one of those ones that it comes up a lot. And it's funny too, because for something that seems like it could be one of the more simple appliances to replace, you know, a lot has changed with dishwashers over the years. And if it's something that you really haven't shopped for a dishwasher over the last, you know, 7, 8, 10 years or so, you know, really a lot's changed. Features have changed, styles have changed. So we really want to dig deep here into things that you should consider when looking at dishwashers, brands, features, cycles, all of those things. So we hope that we can kind of impart some knowledge on you here. So let's get started right away. And first thing that comes up with dishwashers, the kind of the main thing that we like to show, especially when you come into the store here, is kind of we show these installed and show all the different styles. And one of the big things is American brands versus European dishwashers. What does that even mean? What are some of the differences? How can a customer even tell what those differences are?
Yeah, really, that is the starting question, and probably the thing most people don't understand when they're looking for dishwashers. An American dishwasher shown here on the left. Okay, let's just take the first very obvious thing you might see, which is a buying decision a lot of times. American dishwashers stick out beyond standard cabinets. So cabinets traditionally are 24 inches is the U.S. or the American standard for depth front to back of the cabinet base itself. And European dishwashers on the right are 23 3/4, or in every case, flush, can be flushed up left to right with the cabinet. So a very clean, linear design, aesthetically pleasing, versus the American that sticks out. You see all the sides. And a lot of times when people are first doing their kitchens, they really would say, well, geez, when they're in the store with us, they'll say, you know, I have an old GE or an old Frigidaire or whatever they might have, KitchenAid or whatever, and they can't recall if theirs sticks out. And that's very often the case because they really don't pay attention to the kitchen because it's probably an older kitchen and they never really thought about it. But it's a very important thing to think about and be pointed out to you for consideration, because many times what we have before we made displays in these education centers in our stores to really pronounce and make that very visual to a consumer. We had customers coming back in once their beautiful new kitchen was installed. And if our salespeople hadn't pointed out that the American would stick out, they'd be quite upset to learn that, you know, this cabinet, you know, really it seems pronounced now. So that would be number one, just the flush nature of the unit itself. The next would be noise. You know, traditionally, European dishwashers have always been significantly quieter than American dishwashers. And the reason for this are a couple. Years ago, American dishwashers used to have loosely defined a soft food disposer, an eviscerator, something that if corn and small bits of food were left on the plate, it would grind it up and wash it away. Well, that grinding was a noise, obviously, right? So the Europeans would traditionally be quieter. The Europeans now today, many of the Americans have got away, 99% of them actually got away from that feature of grinding food, because the truth is it was a plastic impeller grinding food and it just didn't work well. It wasn't made to do it, but in the spirit of how it was advertised, there used to be a Maytag commercial where it showed the Maytag guy throwing a cake right into the dishwasher, shutting the door, and he rested against the door and voila, it was clean. But the reality of it was it would really beat on the dishwasher and it would shorten the life of the dishwasher overall. So now we started to see more people get the brands get rid of that soft food disposer built into the machines for the fact of longevity and then for noise, right? Because the European dishwashers were a lot quieter. And really when people come in, they're asking for three things. Generally, they want something quiet. They always ask what's more efficient, because water and energy cost money, and it's just a concern and a general awareness that we all have today. And then after that, it generally gets into some features and cycles. But right off the top, many times, you should consider the depth, and how it's going to flush in your kitchen and what that's going to look like. Then after that, we talk in noise, and we've established that traditionally still, though, if you took an $800 European dishwasher and match it up against an American dishwasher, the European will still be quieter. And we said, you know, I sound like I'm contradicting myself. You just said, Dennis, they got rid of this soft food disposer. Why would it be louder? Well, the Europeans also dry differently, and that's the next big feature, right? So if you were to open up an American dishwasher, brands you'd know, GE, any of them, Amana, Maytag, Frigidaire, the list goes on, KitchenAid. Mm-hmm. In the bottom of those dishwashers, if you were to look, is basically a heating element. It looks a lot like you used to see in an old electric oven, range. Literally, it's an exposed element. And that element is drying the dishes themselves. Where in the European machines, the machine itself gets the water hotter, up to about 100, 162 degrees. And that hot temperature is trapped, and it literally uses condensation to dry. So a much more efficient way to dry, but it needs more insulation to trap and keep that hot energy in. So therefore, the other benefit to that is noise reduction. So you generally see that the European machines are quieter. And then now we're talking more about the drying system. So the drying systems, let's talk about that for a quick moment, because it's a really big question.
Yeah.
And I will start with this kind of blanket-like statement, okay? All dishwashers, none of them dry like our old ones do. They just don't.
Yeah.
Truth be told, they do not. And why don't they? Well, I see the first comment from Robin talking about a 23-year-old machine. And guess what? They were amazing, Robin. You're probably talking about a KitchenAid made by Hobart 23 years ago, a commercial company. And they were great. But they used about 25 gallons of water on a running average versus 3 to 3.5 that a lot of the European machines, or 5 gallons today, that most of the American machines use. They also used a heap of energy. So basically, how these machines used to work, think about it like this. We'd put a garden hose in there. We'd spray down all the dishes. We'd turn it on high, and we'd bake the heck out of them, just like an oven. Not efficient. So as we've continued to get more efficient, this idea of drying becomes a bigger concern. And really, the reality is, as long as you're using the machine properly, you'll have a dry dish. Now, there'll probably be someone that hops up here and tells me that theirs doesn't dry, and I'm going to challenge it all day long, and I'm going to challenge how you use it or educate how you should be using it. And if you do that, I think you'll have a much better result. But what does that look like today? Whether it is American or it's a European, know this. We talked about the inefficiency of lots of water and lots of energy to wash dishes well 20 plus years ago. It was very inefficient, but it did a good job. We can establish that. A couple of things it also did was it really masked how these machines work today. It washed very, very quickly because it used all that water and all that energy at one time. Now, if you open the dishwasher today, you'll see 3 or 4 or 5 spray arms in a dishwasher, where before they all came on high, full power. Now they're cycling, and the top spray arm's moving while the bottom is not. And then the bottom spray arm moves and the top does not. And it varies this because the end result it wants to have, it wants to have less energy and water used throughout the wash. Invariably, by having to take the time to use less drying energy, it needs to stay in that dry environment a little bit longer. And then beyond that, it needs to also use less water. It's taking much longer to wash. So before, an American dishwasher used to wash your dishes dry, perfectly clean, in about 40 to 50 minutes. Today, you'll see a normal wash somewhere around 2 hours, about 120 minutes. That's pretty much a standard, whether it's American or European, by the way. And the reason, again, for that is they're trying to do things slower, to have the same effect in the end or a similar effect, but it's taking longer to do it. Now, using far less energy and far less water, understand as well these machines are smart. So most of them do not have to just have a top rack only or something. They're just literally thinking about, is the water coming through the pump dirty? And if it's not, it'll continue to move faster. So when we say it takes 2 hours, there's generally on most machines a cycle, and we'll talk about that a little further, but auto cycle where these machines think for you. So they're kind of smart. They're efficient. They're smart. So 2 hours is generally a worst case. It can be much sooner. And we'll talk about that as we get a little bit further. But so really, to recap, Americans are going to stick out. Europeans are going to be flushed. Americans are going to be louder at the same price point as a European. They make quiet Americans today, mm-hmm. but you're going to pay more to get that equivalent noise to a European. Americans heat the dishes still to dry, so mm-hmm. they use more energy, versus Europeans that trap hot air and energy to dry. Okay. And that's really it. The final thing I will finish by saying about drying is you have to use RinsAid, or you should. You don't have to, but if you don't, you won't have a dry dish. RinsAid, there's folks that don't like chemicals. Seventh Generation makes one. There's a bunch of organics out there that have a similar effect. But it is aiding in this drying that we already talked about is not quite as efficient in its own standalone capacity because it can't use as much wattage. So we need a little aid, and that, think about it like wax on a car. So that RinsAid helps sheet the water off those dishes to help that drying be more effective in the end. And if you're doing that, then you should have a dry dish.
Okay, that's great. A lot of really good information there. So that's awesome. And then just, you know, recapping on brands too, you know, like American style brands, you have brands like GE, you were saying, KitchenAid, Frigidaire, brands like that. Europeans, you're really looking at Beko, Bosch, Miele, brands like that. And one of the first things that you really talked about was kind of, you know, the depth difference. And we kind of highlighted that. Certainly in stainless steel, that's a huge consideration for a lot of people that just like that nice clean look. But when you're looking at panel-ready dishwashers, I mean, that is really critical. One, you know, let's talk about the basics. What is a panel-ready dishwasher? And why should you, or which one, American versus European, would you consider for a panel-ready dishwasher?
Yeah, so I would tell you this. You never, write this down, ever want to buy an American dishwasher if you're putting a panel on it. You can't convince me it would ever be anything you'd want to do because you're buying the panel for what, Fran? What do you want to do when you're putting a panel on a dishwasher? What's your intent?
Hide the dishwasher.
To make it not look like a dishwasher, yeah. To make it kind of conceal and go away with the cabinets. But we already talked about the fact that the dishwashers that are American are deeper than the cabinets. So if we put a wood front on it, it actually looks worse. It looks like it's installed wrong. And it is. It sticks out. So in that case, you know, you really want to make sure that you're doing a European dishwasher because those panel-ready European dishwashers are generally 23 1/4 inches deep, ready to receive a 1/2 inch or 3/4 inch cabinet panel so that the end result is a totally flush installation and it would look like every other cabinet in your kitchen. So if that's what you're going for, great. When we see an American dishwasher sold in this company, and it's a panel-ready American dishwasher, they have to sign off. I mean, managers will call that customer and say, we want to make sure, because 99.999% of the time, they're not grasping the fact that it's not going to look the way they're thinking. They might love the brand. They might like a KitchenAid. They might like a GE, but they're not going to like it with a panel. They might love it in stainless. So my recommendation for those people would be to go stainless because it actually, while it still sticks out, I think it looks better than trying to put a panel on it. It just looks like it's wrong.
Yeah, no question. It's one of those things that it definitely does not look how you're intending for it to look once that gets installed with an American panel-ready dishwasher. Now, let's talk about sizes a little bit. You know, a lot of the categories that we talk about, refrigeration, for example, you know, there's a lot of different sizes. Dishwashers, there's a couple, but, you know, there's not a lot there. They're definitely a little bit more standard. What are the available sizes in dishwashers?
So classically, you know, there's always going to be rogue sizes, but the standard size for an American dishwasher is 24 inches wide or made to fit into a 24 inch wide open space. They're slightly smaller than that. Obviously, 24 doesn't go into 24. Mm-hmm. So that would be just a 1/4 inch, a few 16ths of an inch smaller than 24. The other size that you do definitely see in the city are 18 inch. So you have 24-inch dishwashers is the standard and 18-inch dishwashers. Now, when people talk about size, a lot of times people will say, I have a small place, I'm in the city, or it's just me, we're empty nesters, it's just me alone. I don't need a big dishwasher, I eat out a lot, I don't even create a lot of dishes, like all these different things. Or some people still prefer to hand wash a lot of their things. My recommendation for anyone doing a new space, or if you're thinking about that, sometimes the space is the space, and there's truly no issue, no option. And that's where the 18-inch dishwashers come in. But for everyone else, a 24-inch dishwasher is the standard. And I always just talk about resale value. I mean, I think it's really important when you're spending good money on a kitchen to think about it may be fine for you or too big for you, but the person coming in, if the industry standard is 24 inches and they're going to see every home 99% of the time with a 24-inch dishwasher, and they walk into your beautiful kitchen and it's you know, not quite half the size, but it's significantly smaller. It may get them starting to think a little bit differently about the house or just, you know, the kitchen, which is a huge selling point to most homes. So just a strong consideration, I say to people.
Yeah, definitely. And then just as far as options go, I mean, really, you know, not every brand even makes an 18 inch. And those that do, I mean, there's really one or two options and models that they even make. So, you know, obviously 24, you have a whole wide array of options there. 18, very limited. The only other thing that comes up, and we see this sometimes too, are ADA model dishwashers. And, you know, can you talk about that a little bit? And what does that mean? And, you know, we come across it sometimes, and mostly, you know, replacement business down the line, it can be sometimes, you know, something that customers don't realize that they actually need or have there to begin with.
Yeah, so traditionally ADA dishwashers need exposed control panels, right? So that they're easily accessible and visible from the front, not from the top, where you see a lot of dishwasher panels today. As well, the toe kick needs to be taller. So traditional toe kicks in an American kitchen are 4 inches tall. But when we get to ADA, there's two ways. A lot of times you'll see ADA dishwashers that are closer to 6 inches tall. And the reason for that is they just want to raise that tub again to be a little bit more accessible to folks that may have trouble getting down low, as low as that. So that would be one as well. You know, many times you'll see if it had a traditional toe kick that the tub itself, the door is split at the bottom, so that again, we're trying to raise that tub height to just make it a little more accessible to folks that have some challenges getting in and out.
Okay, very good. Now let's go into some features here. So, you know, when it comes to dishwashers, there's a lot of different features and things to consider and look at. And one of the first ones, and you know, a lot of it has kind of, you know, you can see it there, stainless steel versus plastic tubs. Most of them at this point definitely have kind of that stainless tub there. What are just some of the benefits of a stainless over a plastic interior?
Yeah, I mean, so, and that's just happened, you know. I mean, you know, we talk about American and European, and there was a time, I've been doing this so long that you know, European was absolutely a premium, right? You were going to spend all the money for it, and the Americans were far less, other than maybe a brand like KitchenAid, which would be equally expensive. And so it was kind of a luxury product. Today, European brands have come way down in price point, and actually Americans had to improve how they washed, how they dried, their noise levels, all the things people want. And so their prices came way up. So truth be told, many times Europeans are less than Americans today. So it's not, you're not spending more than one and the other. But so when that happened, think about this. American dishwashers had to come up in price. So if you had a Bosch dishwasher, it's just an easy brand everyone knows, a Bosch dishwasher that was $800, and you had a KitchenAid that might have been $800, okay? The KitchenAids and the American brands always had a plastic tub. And the perception, just the raw perception, we'll talk about performance in a minute, for most people when they open that would be like, wow, stainless just seemed like a higher material, a more expensive, a better quality unit. So at that time, the Americans really didn't matter, because remember, we talk about that heating element they have. They're constantly using a ton of energy to dry. So the plastic really didn't matter to them. It was never for longevity. Stainless didn't outlast the plastic. It wasn't those things that you might think of naturally. It was really just initially an impression, but then also a performance. So in the European machines, we talked about that drying, and they use condensation to dry. Well, I think we all can get our head around the fact that if you ever try to dry plastics, even with a paper towel, right, it's a lot harder than if you had something that was stainless steel. Steel just wipes cleaner, faster, and it dries easier. Well, in the European machines, because they use condensation, water pulls. So basically the concept is there's generally a fan or some type they pump sometimes cooler water through the side. They want that warm air to pull to the stainless steel sides and drip down. And we know that plastic retained that humidity and moisture, where the stainless steel tend to pull it and the water will pull down. So it was really as much for drying is why the Europeans really had to have stainless steel. But then there was also that today, that perception that steel is better, is higher end. So you've seen Americans do it. So the long way around this was, it was performance based in the drying really initially. And now you've seen the Americans, that they've come up in price and the Europeans have come down. They have to do stainless, or else people would never buy an American. It would just feel and seem cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like even things like odor and things like that.
Stainless, yeah, kind of, you know. Yeah, a little more porous. I mean, I'm not going to add fuel here. No one's going to get sick from a plastic tub dishwasher, like none of those things. But it is generally cleaner. A lot of the old plastics, if you had hard water, you'd see water stains inside. You'd see some iron build up. So it was an aesthetic thing as much as anything. Some would say that it, you know, and it is true, plastic is more porous, but most of the machines were getting so hot with the detergent that it wasn't, you weren't going to get sick from it, but it was all those other aesthetic reasons. Yeah.
All right. And then I'd say the next thing is kind of probably the most asked about thing about dishwashers from customers is noise and sound levels. And, you know, we see DBAs and all these things everywhere. So I think with, you know, dishwashers, it's one of those things you can kind of, it's easy to compare model to model and say, well, this one's 44, this one's 46. What do the sound levels mean? What is considered a quiet dishwasher and why is that important?
Yeah, so sound levels are important because what do people do? We hang out in our kitchens now. It's open floor plan. So many times your living room and your kitchen flow one off the other. There's an island in your kitchen where people sit and when you're entertaining, you'd like to be able to run your dishwasher. Before, you used to have to wait till the end of the night to run it. So, you know, noise was the thing. And that's what Europeans really brought. Remember, they didn't have that garbage disposal feature in the bottom. So it was much quieter than the American machines. But as we also took down walls and open floor plans, then noise became equally as important and more so than ever. And it's a great marketing concept, right? So the human ear stops hearing much after 40. It's hard to discern a noise much after 46 decibels, 46 dBs. And that created the European standard for kind of quiet. And American dishwashers traditionally were significantly louder. They were up into the high 50s, some into the 60s. So really you could hear that. We've seen over time this race to quiet. I generally just tell people 46 is a great decibel that you would put it in, and honestly, you'd run your dishwasher if you were having a quiet conversation by the dining room. There would be no reason not to run it. You're going to be able to eat dinner right there and not even know it's really running. As it gets much below that, technically, sure, they make 42. They go down into the 30s, some of 38, 39. I'm probably going to tell you, though, you're probably buying a marketing spin at that point. I don't think your ear is going to hear it. You may buy it for a bunch of other reasons you love. Maybe it's some other cycles or racking or other things that machine offers. But noise today, that race to 46 has kind of become the standard, and you're seeing less and less people really having to worry as much as they did before about noise. The only one I will put out there that is one that's very, very, very misleading. Honestly, I dislike it. I'm about to get emotional, Fran. I normally do once every combo.
I was going to say, there's always one time per episode.
I'm coming after Bosch on this one. So for the box stores, Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, truth be told, they don't have salespeople, right? There's no salespeople to educate a customer. But many people would walk in there and they would buy a Bosch because they heard their friend had one and liked it and it was really quiet and it was all these things. So what they did is they came out with a fake Bosch. It's called an Asenta. And technically right now in COVID, you can't buy a Bosch dishwasher. They actually stopped taking orders for them. But they have continued to produce this fake Bosch dishwasher, which I'll tell you, I think it's irresponsible. I don't like it while they'll sell them. And why I say that is it has three sides of formed steel and a plastic bottom. We just spent half of this call talking about why you would want it. But think about just water leaks and everything else. Three pieces of steel, folks, and at the bottom, they're trying to glue and hold plastic. And they did that to save money, to bring a price point down, to get into that $700 price range. And the problem is, it is the number one return dishwasher. We won't sell them. We won't put them on display. It's irresponsible to do if you're, and that doesn't mean everyone has to spend $1,000. But I'll tell you, it's $700-$800. There's a lot of other dishwashers that are out there that are priced superior to that one. And I would never want you to buy thinking you were getting a Bosch, because the real Bosch dishwashers realistically start closer to $900. The ones that really have full stainless steel interiors and all the things that built that brand. So just understand that. Sorry, had to get that out there. But that one also, why I really got there was because it's loud. It's not even quiet. Right. So you're going to buy it for all the things you thought. My friend has one. You can't even hear it. My friend has one. They swear by it. My friend has one. And this is none of those things that your friend has or that you've ever owned before. So it's not a great deal. It's not a Bosch.
Yeah. And like you said, it's really anything less than 46 dBA, you know, absolutely. If there's features and things like that you like, but that shouldn't be the major buying decision from 46 to 44, you know, obviously other features, but things like that. Next one is really kind of racking. So let's talk about racking and see if, you know, some of the differences there and what some of the feature benefits are of the racking and what are the differences. You know, we hear a lot about third racks nowadays, and that's definitely been something that's been huge, you know, the last couple of years, and you're starting to see that in a lot more dishwashers. But what are some of the options and features for customers there?
Well, I mean, listen, know this, we're Americans, man. We always want more. It's never enough. That's why we supersize food, why we drive monster SUVs, why we have third rows in cars, and on and on and on we go, right? So more is better, right? Isn't it, Fran?
I don't know. Typically, you know,
but I'll tell you
that is the American way.
enter the third rack. So what they've been able to do over time, right? Cabinet heights haven't changed, but they've been able to move some of the pumps and the plumbing of these units either to the back wall of the dishwasher or just physically make some of the components smaller so that the tubs themselves, or they, and they're using higher quality insulation so that they don't take as much of the width of the side walls and tops of the dish. So they've been able to create a bigger interior. You can actually put more in it. And now this idea of a third rack, many times used for things like cutlery or used for serving spoons or tops the baby bottles and all these things, kind of a utility rack. Yeah. It is a cool concept. Understand this, a lot of them are coming with it. If you don't like it, you remove it. It slides out in some form or fashion, every brand, and you can remove it if you didn't like it. But most people really tend to like it. And that top rack adjustability, most of them have some level of clips that you can raise it up or down depending on your height. Mm-hmm. More often than not, you're not doing that every single time. You find a height that works for you, and that's just where you keep it. And then the other thing would be flexibility of fold-down time. So if you're somebody that wants to do bigger bowls or platters, or some people wash their pots and pans in there, you know, that the flexibility in racking is a consideration. So when you're buying a dishwasher, it's generally aesthetic. It's noise. After that, it's racking. We'll probably get into the next feature in here, which might be cycles. I can look at the next one. Yeah, cycles.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we get to – so that's racking. Fran, did I miss anything on racking? I mean, that's it. You just got to figure out what you need, you know.
Yeah.
But that third rack has almost become a standard.
And, yeah, and just talking about that third rack, you know, it's kind of one of those things when they first came out, it was really kind of marketed towards cutlery. And, you know, you could put your cutlery here. And, you know, they had the small tines, and you can kind of – neatly lay out your forks and spoons up top. And, you know, to be honest, nobody's doing that. No one's taking the time to kind of lay them out that way, even though that's probably, you know, the best way to wash them, but no one's really doing that. And like you said, they've kind of adjusted over the last few years, and some have almost changed calling it from a cutlery rack to be able to do those different things. So they have a little bit deeper areas for your small bowls and spoons and utensils and things like that. So I think that's definitely what they're more used for now. But I would say, like me personally, I have a third rack. We load that thing up all the time, not with cutlery, never with cutlery, but we do use a lot of small bowls with the kids and things like that, and obviously spatulas and things like that. It's one of those features that, you know, it really depends. Everyone's different. We use it in our family, but it's one of those things that I would say we definitely use it way more than cutlery, for sure.
And I will say this. No two machines are exactly perfect. So we highly recommend to our customers, because we have so many of these things on display, bring in the dishes. If there's a few, a dinner plate, a big coffee mug. A lot of times, seriously, we hear about soup bowls, mm-hmm. you know, or I have an oversized this or that. Bring it in and try it, because they might hold, one may hold it a little bit better than the other. You know, I will tell you, one machine that doesn't hold dishes all that great today, but was a great dishwasher, and it's still a good dishwasher. KitchenAid does not hold, their racks are very generic. Mm-hmm. They have a lot in there, like they look like a lot.
Yeah.
But you care about how it holds your dishes. I mean, I've only said, speaking that from personal experience, we've owned them, and I was reading, I think Robin in there had a comment about how she had a 23-year-old machine and her mm-hmm. daughter's had one that's last 5 years and it's broke down a bunch of times. I'll tell you the average life expectancy for most dishwashers today, 7 to 10 years. If you have kids, I will tell you we are tough on a dishwasher. Yeah. My kids are tough. I have three of them and they beat the heck out of it. So, you know, we've gone through a few. We've tried and we buy them all just like you guys do. We don't get these things for free. We've tried a lot of them. So, you know, but we found certainly some that the racks look amazing, and my wife or myself may really not love how it loads. So I think you should really try that. But let's get to the next one. And we're going to run a little bit over here, but we haven't been here in a couple weeks. We want to get to some of these questions, but let's get to the next one because it's an important one, which is cycles and options or drying systems. Okay. So on drying systems, where we're really going with there, we talked a lot about that. Remember, American dishwashers use a heating element. Okay. Who would want that? Someone would want that says to me, they're in and out of their dishwasher a lot of times once they've started it running. Okay. Now that's a big no-no either way. But if you're that type and you're not going to let it do its thing, then an American may do it because it's constantly replacing the air. Going to use more energy. Might melt your plastics if you keep them closer to the bottom because there's a heating element exposed. But that would be that person. The other is we talked about that condensation style drying. Those are brands like Bosch, Miele, Beko, Fisher-Paykel, Asco. The list goes on. There's more. But any of the European-style drying systems, they trap that hot air and energy to dry. So you just want to make sure you're leaving that closed. And I always tell people, too, you know, it's generally, and I've done it. We do all do it. You start the machine, and then 2 minutes later, you realize, oh, man, there was a couple of cups I forgot to put in there, and it wasn't full. Now, you can stop the machine and start it again. But remember that hot air and energy that it's already starting to create, you're removing that, you're gonna hurt some of your drying. Remember again, if you have an older dishwasher, and I'm not picking on you, Robin, because you have an amazing dishwasher 23 years ago. I wouldn't get rid of that until you really feel like you have to. But those machines are using a ton of water, 20, 25 gallons, using a bunch of energy. The new machines, chock full, are using 3.5 gallons of water. And they're smart. So if there's less dishes in there, there's basically, for lack of a better word, we're going to use this laser. And if food doesn't break the laser beam in its rinse cycles, if there's no particles breaking that beam, it's saying, hey, we're pretty clean. We can go on and move up to the next cycle. So a lot of us scrape our plates darn near clean. You don't truly want to wash your dishes before you wash your dishes. Ketchup, mustard, some syrup, stuff like that. That's all good. Heavy bits of food, take them off. But you actually want that because the cleaning enzymes will actually attach to that food. It attaches to the plate and it stays there and uses it to wash. If your plate is drip dry clean and you've washed it before you wash it, a lot of times you'll have calls saying it feels slimy. It doesn't feel like it cleans that well. Yeah, the detergent hit it and fell right off. But I think that's that drying system. So you want to make sure you use it there. Use RinseAid. Either way, remember, again, American or European, they're going to ask for RinseAid to be used. The third drying system that's out there that you're seeing, like a brand like Beko, just launched a really cool washing system. One, it has what's called corner intent. So this machine kind of works on a track where before they're round, right? If you think about it and you look at the bottom of your dishwasher, all of them just spin in a circle.
Yeah, like an old school sprinkler.
Yeah, right. But we agree that a dishwasher is square. It's not round. So those corners did not get washed well. This new corner intense actually moves on a tracking system and really washes all the corners. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in its final dry cycle, it uses condensation to dry, and towards the end of the machine, the door will auto open and use some of the ambient air in your home to dry. What does that do? The claim is a drier dish. The claim is slightly more, is less energy to be used, but a drier dish by mixing in that warmer air with that cold air. So you'll see some brands do that. Miele has one that auto opens. There's a couple of them that'll do that now.
All right. And lastly, you know, it would not be an Appliance Advisors episode if we didn't talk about availability and.
Wait, no, Fran, we've got to talk about cycles for a second.
Oh, yeah, let's go back to cycles.
So cycles, because people come in and they say, what cycles do I need? You tell me. I tell people this, if they will ask for China crystal wash, I say, how important is a China crystal? If it's important and it's gold leaf and things like that, you should wash by hand. If it's going to upset you that bad, if anything were to happen to it, wash it by hand. If you're somebody that uses China every day, there are people that have everyday China. And if that's the case, well, then you would obviously want a China cycle. That would be a specific cycle. Aside from that, you don't need to look at top rack only cycles anymore. That's a thing we looked at 20, 25 years ago. You need to look for a cycle, and they all have it called auto wash. Auto wash is so most machines will have what's called a regular or a normal wash, which generally is going to be at a full wash. It's going to do what it does for 120 minutes or roughly 2 hours. that's what it's going to do. Go through a full wash, full dry. Auto wash is like a top wash or anything. It's a smart wash. It's basically saying, hey, if we need the normal time, if we need the whole 120 minutes, because this dishwasher is chock full and the dishes are really dirty, then we're going to use 120 minutes. But if we can cut this thing down because the dishes aren't that dirty or there's less of them, then it'll use way less. So sometimes those machines will pack 30, 40 minutes, 20, 30, 40 minutes off your wash if you're only using a few things. So love auto wash. It's kind of the cycle that replaces normal wash for me. It's just saying, hey, if I can be more efficient, great. If I need more time, great. We want to get to the same end result. The final cycle that all Americans are asking for, because we talked about a two-hour wash and everyone goes, well, 2 hours, holy smokes, right? Is a quick wash or an express wash. There are exceptions. But for 99% of the machines that have a quick wash cycle or advertise that, folks, educate yourself. It is eliminating the dry cycle entirely. You heard that, right? So where is that useful? It's really, some people just like the speed and will dry them by hand. Okay, great. It's really useful on a holiday maybe when you want appetizer plates and you just don't have enough plates and you have 25 people over 30 people, you have 10 plates, 15 plates, I don't know. But you need to get in there quicker and the things aren't very dirty and you just want to rinse them quickly and you're okay with hand drying them a little bit. But that's what that quick wash is. A lot of places mislead and don't get into that. And the people call back and say, well, it doesn't dry. Well, yeah, that's what the it did. It just did the wash cycle. It didn't have the extra time to dry.
That's why it's so fast.
All right, we're going fast. What else we got, Fran? We were going to talk about availability.
Availability, right,
yeah. So really, people would say, why did you pick dishwashers? You talked a lot about dishwashers. It is important to talk about dishwashers right now. They're very hard to come by. And someone would say, what do you mean, why? Well, because they take a lot of microchips. They take a lot of the processes and wiring harnesses that are still in major constraint. And honestly, you see a lot of brands, but there's very few producers. Would everyone believe it that if I told you Jennair, KitchenAid, Amana, Maytag, Whirlpool, they're all one company? Coming off the same couple of lines. So when they're in trouble, all five brands are in trouble. If you've ever heard of Electrolux and Frigidaire, same brand. Bosch, Thermador, and Gaggenau, same brand. You know, so this consolidation we've seen has people say, wow, there's got to be more dishwashers out there. But if these main factories are struggling, then multiple brands are struggling. And what we're seeing right now is Miele is hobbled. They haven't taken dishwasher orders since last year. That means we couldn't place an order. Now, Yale placed their order, seeing some of this, at the very beginning of 2021. And we ordered more than we would normally sell in 2 years' time. Okay. Now, I'll also tell you, Miele is not doing the best job for us in fulfilling those. So we still have a lot of customers. We should have got them a lot sooner. The promises were made, but we haven't seen the dishwashers, but we're continue to be told we're going to start seeing them. Mm-hmm. But Miele has been a problem. European dishwasher number one. Bosch has had major problems. They just came out and stopped making dishwashers. Well, I shouldn't say stop making them, stop taking orders. There's mm-hmm. such a backload, they can't produce them. So that was why I went on that rant about that faux Bosch dishwasher. They're continuing to make those because they run on their own production line. The demand is less and it requires less core components and materials. It's an inferior product. There's less to it. So they're going to continue to make it. And understand this, they're a huge partner brand of ours, but you don't want to buy that. You really don't. So someone in here asked about a Samsung linear dishwasher. I don't think much about Samsung dishwashers. They've been making them for about 4 years, 5, 6 years. They're the hardest thing to make. Tons of water, tons of components. They're great looking, cool features, sizzle, no parts, no availability, problematic. Wouldn't sell you into that. So we're talking about those brands. I mean, brands that are available still continue to be. The others are very spotty at best, but you know, LG has good available. GE has good availability. They just came out with a killer new dishwasher and the profile line that actually has a really cool, you know, antibacterial components. Really, really great. It's doing very well. KitchenAid still spottedly available out there, spotty. Beko has honestly been has ridden in on the white horse. I mean, 200-year-old company, massive. I'm going to screw up the number, maybe $26 billion company, not a small one. Mm-hmm. makes a ton of components for the major cooking and appliance brands that you know in the United States, and they're huge over in Europe. So in the last 5 years, 6 years, they've started to come over into the American market, but they make European dishwashers at great price points. I mean, some start in the mid fives that are better than any dishwasher under $700.
Yeah. Full stainless steel interiors.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. And then you go up and they go up, they're in the eights, nines, and they keep going. So that's really a pretty cool dishwasher. Someone, Karen, said LG dishwasher or Bosch dishwasher reliability is a major concern. Actually, in our recent tests, honestly, LG dishwashers have done phenomenal in our testing, if you read our blogs. I'll also tell you they haven't been out nearly as long. But understand this, Bosch is going through an entire new platform change, which will launch. If you order a Bosch dishwasher, which you can't do, we're just starting to be able to order just a select couple of dishwashers. They've shut us off for the last few months, the whole country. There's no one there isn't a dealer that quick. The new machines, we haven't seen, touch, or felt, but playing on their legacy, they make good dishwashers. But they, you wouldn't receive it until at the earliest June of 2023 if you ordered a Bosch dishwasher. We don't have them in stock, and you're ordering one of the new ones that are about to start to come out in terms of just marketing material. You won't be able to see, touch, feel one, or get your hands on one until a full fiscal year from today. That's not great. And we're not saying that LG has good dishwashers. If you look at our studies, we were talking about LG before COVID. It actually made a good system. The problem became at the time when it first launched, they had very inexpensive, I would say inferior quality ones, and these really overpriced models. Through COVID and through those few years, they've kind of come out with steps along the way that seem to make sense and hit price points. So I think they're becoming more viable. Someone at CCAF asked about Signature. Signature is LG. SKS, they're going to hate me saying that, but it is LG. We think it's a great dishwasher. It's actually one of the few. It is European. It is. It's made in Korea, but it's also, it is flush like a European. So if you're doing paneling, those are great. They're in stock, done very, very well through COVID. And that's what COVID's really forced. COVID has forced all consumers and customers to try some brands that we all get lazy. Lazy in the sense that you have a good piece that's worked for years. You sell a Miele, you sell a KitchenAid, you sell a Bosch. Well, you did because you came in asking for it and everyone knew about it. It was easier. But now we've tried these other brands. And honestly, folks, I think in the backside, the good news is this. Being a huge servicer, those brands have launched very well. We service them. We're believing what we're seeing in terms of the service. We're liking that. But more so, long-term, it's more competitive market. So these few big conglomerates can't just run away with the market. And I think for you as consumers, on the backside of this, it's going to bode well that there's more options. And it keeps pricing competitive and down and just doesn't let people dictate the entire market. What else are we seeing in here, Fran?
So just another question about dependability, from the dishwashers that are available, which one would you recommend regarding dependability? And that's from Terry.
Yeah. I would say, let me back up this. Terry, I want to be abundantly clear. And I'd say this about any appliance you ask me about. They're all going to need a service call in their life. So let's just start that. And I say that because Robin Petrillo is our consumer that talks about all the time how they have this 20-year-old plus something. I want you to think back about how much better your car ran 20 years ago or anything we bought. Your shoes lasted longer. Your shirts didn't shrink as much. We can't change the world right now, but I would say, look at our service stats. We like LG. Beko's doing really well. I think Bosch is very good when it's available. Okay. Miele for the longest time, it still is really good. It's seen an uptick. It's about 8.5% of service on dishwashers where it used to be closer to 3. But we find most dishwashers of the majors rank in the 8s. The ones that are generally historically much higher, honestly, are the Samsungs, any of these really, truly new to market, You have to pay attention to brands, folks, in this category that are newer to markets, that their whole thing is constant innovation, meaning they have a dishwasher today and 3 months later they have another one. These are consumables. They require testing, your testing. They require in-field testing from real-life users, us to be out there. And when we tend to find brands that are just trying to be disruptive and throw constant technology, which we all love, but if they do it way too fast in these types of items that have a lot of moving parts, like dishwashers and things like that, we see a much higher incidence of fail. Hopefully that answered some of it. What is the faux Bosch brand? It's called an Essenta. It's their 100 and 300 series dishwashers. Somehow there's going to get back to Bosch. I'm surprised my phone hasn't started ringing. But, you know, we always keep it real here at Yale because that's what matters in the end.
Absolutely. So, well, I know this was a lot of information, and we kind of went through it pretty quickly, but we wanted to make sure we got as much as we could out to you guys today. We haven't been here in a couple of weeks, so you know, we appreciate you sticking around and asking all these great questions. A lot of really good participation this week, so we really always appreciate that. So keep the questions coming. If there's anything that we didn't get to today, keep them coming, and we'll get to those next week. And again, as always, you know, every Thursday, 4 p.m., another episode of Appliance Advisors. Anything?
Yeah, any final thoughts, Dennis? I will say this. I am going to chime in. We need ideas for these deeper dive convos, folks. We're doing the ones that we know with our customers are painful today. Dishwasher's a painful conversation because it's just very unique right now due to COVID. But if you have them, send them in. We absolutely love answering the questions, and we'll try to get these episodes to match your needs out there. So thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone. Thank you, Dennis, and we'll see you all next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.